members and those who might be members of the church, either from this congregation or other congregation, we welcome all of you. We encourage participation. Question that you may have, input that is sharing your knowledge on the subject, or seeking clarification on any point that might be raised that we may bring up at different intervals. I will be giving the opportunity for questions. If there are times when you need to ask a question and raise your hand or call to me, even if I don't permit the question or input at that immediate moment, I will ultimately be getting to you, because in fact we appreciate your input. We are hoping to have the series of discussion taped so that it will be available on CD. We are hoping that within 4 to 6 weeks, if it takes shorter time for us to go through the text verse by verse, then that will even be better. The passage, of course, is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 16, but it's really from around verse 2 through verse 16, but verse 1 through verse 16. We will, for the most part, be following the brother McFarlane. You want to, because Brother Myrie is occupied with the system. Yeah. There are a few people who come in. Yes, see some hands. Okay. That's right. Hold on to, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, a good person to give it is Brother Smith. Yes. Okay, no, you can either give Brother Smith so that, or you can give to Cynthia, so, or Charmaine, anyone that as new as people come in, you can hand a lesson to them. Okay, important aspect of the lesson that is not on the sheet, it would probably, and I must say thanks first to Natasha for helping getting this typed out, and especially thanks to her and to O'Neill and Yvette for getting it run off. I don't know if their lawyer will have to write the church for payment, but they are always helpful. And you know, most of you know that O'Neill and his wife, Yvette, they are ever so helpful. We appreciate that. And as I've said, Natasha, we put her, well, I put her, if she was under a lot of pressure, and the day of the dinner, she said she never knew that it would take that long, because it was a lot of things to type out. And it is for economic reason, you see, we put it on a full scap and both sides. That's right. It's economic consideration. Okay, there, as I was saying, there are a very important aspect of this lesson that is not on the printout. Get this. As hinted in the lesson, we are going to also let history speak on the subject. That is from the second century right down to the early 20th century. I will be, one night, it will be just that, where I give quotation from religious people or Christian of the second century, right down, telling you their books are the writing from where I'm quoting on the page, that if you want, you can go and check it out on internet. That will be, what we are going to see is that from the time of the apostle, right down, Christians and religious men and women who speak on the subject of head covering, there is no question as to what the practice was. So that will be one night. That is not another point that I'll be doing one night is bring no less than probably 10 different commentaries from various authors, Church of Christ and denomination, who speak, the commentaries will be on the book of 1 Corinthians. And we will be reading what they say on the subject. Okay, but that too will be dealt with a separate night. Okay, now, we are going to appreciate those who help to read. We beg, though, that when you read, I'll be doing a lot of the reading, because sometimes when you read, you don't read loud enough. And of course, everyone has a lesson, and we expect that you follow. Okay? Again, questions, input, seeking clarification is encouraged. Shall we begin? Head covering of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, it has chapter 1 there. Okay, that is obviously a typographical error. Yeah, because as you see below that, it is 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Okay? Okay, introduction. Fabian, read that for me aloud.
The subject of head covering is variously referred to as the woman's covering, the head covering of 1 Corinthians 11, stratification of leadership, glories seen and unseen, the covering question, the covering controversy, etc.
Yeah, these are terms that have been used over the years to talk about what is taught in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Go on.
One, in this study, our goal is to study and examine carefully what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through Paul's inspired writing. A study or discussion of the subject is ignored, shied away from, afraid of, or treated as unimportant or irrelevant.
Stop there. This is a fact. As I'm going to be quoting from one author, that it's like church leaders and religious people are afraid to have discussion, open discussion on the passage. That is a fact. Read on, Brother Webb.
As Warren Henderson correctly observed on the neglect of this passage, he wrote, "Unfortunately, 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 is one of the most neglected texts of Scripture. Most modern-day preachers shrug it off as outdated cultural bias, spiritualize the meaning away, or simply detour around it as some theological minefield to be avoided. Seldom is an honest, literal, and textual explanation given of the passage. Let us not neglect it any longer."
Now, this is a quotation, and the person from whom I'm quoting here, Warren Anderson, as you notice, the footnote tell you the name of the book and the page. Okay? I pointed out here that this is a correct observation. That I like when he said that some church leaders treat it like a minefield. You know, it's like war was fought here and the enemy cover some explosive, and when you walk, you have to be careful. So that's the way 1 Corinthians 11 has been treated. It's like, don't touch that passage. What a shame, you know. Read on.
When one considers that this entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, or portion of this inspired epistle, addresses two subjects, head covering and the Lord's Supper, and gave almost equal time and effort to each subject, it is difficult to see how any sane person could consider any of the two subjects irrelevant or unimportant.
You all got what I'm saying here? In this particular portion of 1 Corinthians 11, the inspired apostle dealt with two subjects. What is noticed is that he gave equal time and effort to the two subjects. Because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to verse 16, you'll notice that he allotted about 15, 16 verses to the head covering issue. And then the important subject of the Lord's Supper, he allotted just about the same time. For a person to go to this passage and pick out head covering and say, it is not relevant to us, then something wrong there. You don't.
Are you taking comments or only questions?
Comments and questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yes. So, you know, it's just like verse 16. We don't get there yet, and we're going to go step by step. But I'm just, you know, in the lesson sheet, you know, you'll notice when we reach there, I'm going to point out how we have people having Paul being a rum drinker. That's right. That when he wrote the passage, he was either drinking rum or under some illicit drugs. And you will see why when we reach that point. You know, all we need is to approach the passage with honesty. Amen. That's all we need. And objectivity. Okay. Now, yes. Please.
Head covering, stratification of leadership, glory seen and unseen, the covering question, the covering controversy. I'm saying to us that the different ways in which it has been described,
yes,
shows that different, I don't want to say different, but we can look at the passage in so many, we can get so many truths from the passage.
That's true.
Because if it says, if we look at it just as a woman's covering, then we are only looking at it from a gender point and not looking at the man is also involved.
Leaving out, Brother Giarsora, leaving out the fact that it dealt not only with women's covering, but with man's.
With man's covering.
Covering.
If we look at it in terms of the covering controversy, what we are saying is that God never really meant a controversy, but we know as human beings put it as a controversy. If we look
because
at it
was never meant to be a controversy.
No.
That's right.
If we look at it in terms of stratification of leadership,
yes,
then that brings a deeper spiritual meaning to why we cover.
And
not
in
cover.
Fact, Brother Gilbert, there are more appropriate word for leadership would be headship.
Yes.
That would be more, and that is my fault there, that I should have put the word stratification of headship rather than stratification of leadership. Go on.
My question now though, because I'm intrigued by the, how they describe it as glories seen and unseen. Any comment on that?
Very, very good question, Brother Gilbert. Should I just a few statements on that? Is it verse 4? May I? I'm just going to make a brief statement, and it's a good point, Brother Gilbert. What I'm going to make just a brief statement here is because further on, I don't know if it's next week or the following week, we will deal a little with that, and those who were here over the past few weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, when I dealt with the subject, not this particular subject, but veiling and covering, going from the Old Testament. The fact that in the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are studying, somebody read verse 7 for me. I think it's verse 7. Yeah? What? Okay. May I? So, God's glory is tied to the subject. Very important. And this is why I'm saying we're not going to be going into that, but the point Brother Gilbert brought, very God's glory is tied to the subject. Here it is there, because man is the glory of God, he ought not to cover. Now, woman is the glory of man. And in effect, what we are getting here is you have here competing glories. You have man's glory and as those who have listened to the message, God will not have that. When man come into the presence of God in the special way that any act of worship or worship represent, there should be no competing glory. The one glory that should be acknowledged then is whose? God. We'll be looking more in that when we get into at verse 7. And, you know, we'll be going into Isaiah, and we'll be looking more on the passage at verse 7 that has just been. So, Brother Gilbert, we will be saying more about that. Go on.
That it is a very awesome topic, not just a topic that should be shrugged off.
Truly.
The different writers describe it in so many ways.
That's right.
And the passage itself brings out so many truths.
And as we go further in the lesson, there's so much that we have taken for granted about this passage that's going to be coming out. Okay? So let us go on, Brother Webb, you stop at also in the first paragraph there below introduction. Also, it must be kept in mind that the subject of head covering is a scriptural and doctrinal subject. It's not a subject that man invents. Okay? Are you with me, Brother Webb?
Yes.
Yes, because you... Okay, why we would... I like when various one of you read, but because we are taping the whole series, we are hoping every Wednesday night to have the lesson tape. Using the mic help our system to get everything. Okay, let us now go on at A and...
It is very important that we be mindful that if God saw it necessary to reveal it, we must see the need to study it.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
That's right. Study to show thyself.
Prove that to God.
Workman need not. That's right.
Too many times, because of the wrong attitude or false preconditioning, we might not examine carefully and honestly things or subjects God has spoken in His Word.
And this is a fact. Many times, because of wrong attitude or preconditioning, that which we have thought or been taught or hold on to, many subjects in the Bible, we just feel there's no need to study them. And this has done us harm. Okay? Read on.
2. Before we begin the actual study of 1 Corinthians 11, it is of vital importance to ascertain to whom was the letter of 1 Corinthians written.
Stop there. This is vitally important. Vitally important. I've heard over the years what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says on head covering. It's not relevant to us. It's not for us. It was not meant for us. There were some problem sisters at Corinth and what. A Nancy story, brother. No. We are going to see that is not so. Start again, Brother Webb.
Before we begin the actual study of 1 Corinthians 11, it is of vital importance to ascertain to whom was the letter of 1 Corinthians written, and for whom was its contents and introductions and instructions meant.
Read on.
When we understand better the why of the epistle, and to whom and for whom it was intended, we will be in a better position to see the relevance or irrelevance of the letter to us.
You see, almost any subject, you know, when we understand better the why behind it, it helps us to put that subject in its right perspective, especially when we understand why. In this case, when we understand to whom it was written, and in that we are going to let the Bible speak, as whatever we are going to say throughout the series, the Bible is the primary authority here. Amen. To whom it was written is important, very important. Read on.
A.
But is there any question so far? Okay, go on.
This is important because we are told by those who consider the head covering issue as irrelevant and unimportant to Christians today that the head covering teaching of 1 Corinthians 11 was written primarily to address some local problems or issues peculiar to the Corinthians church and therefore has no application to Christians today.
That is an often expressed thought that we hear, that what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is saying about head covering, it has no relevance to Christian today. Read on.
B. First, the purpose of the Corinthians letter was to address some serious problems of division.
Okay. Are you noticing? And so many of us here are well aware of this. Among the purpose that conditioned the writing of this letter, that is the Holy Spirit directing the Apostle Paul to address this subject, it's, as pointed out here, division was at Corinth. Huh? You're not aware of that? Yes, chapter 1, verse 10. I beseech you that there be no division among you. Huh? What else was that condition, the letter?
Immorality.
Immorality was occurring. And Paul had gone as far as saying the type of immorality, you don't even find it among the heathen or the Gentile. That was one of the reasons for the letter. Two, three.
Disorders.
Disorder. Huh? Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 14? It's about disorders. You know, let all things be done decently and in order. What else?
False teachings.
False teaching.
And the church
was another reason the letter was written. And
the church orders.
And church order. That is,
order.
But Paul addressed how certain things should be done in the church, in worship. What else?
Instructions on which Paul felt was relevant to all local congregations.
Everybody get that? The instruction given on the subject. Because remember, you know, head covering comes on the order. The communion comes under order. And he addressed both of those subjects. What you're going to see is the fact that when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's not the first time the Corinthians were getting aware of head covering. Don't know if we'll get to that in this lesson. Anyway, in this section. Okay? Go on.
C. To whom or for whom was the inspired instruction or the teaching of 1 Corinthians meant?
Yes, we are getting to that now.
The answer
For whom was the letter meant? To whom was it written? Brother?
The answer to this important question is given many places in the letter.
That's right. Not one place. Not two places. Many places. Let us take some of them now.
1 Corinthians 1, 2.
Mm-hmm.
Read. Does the passages or read the passage?
Read the passage. The scripture passage.
Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ.
Wait, take time with us, brother. We are checking what the epistle says in respect to the audience for which it was meant. What you know? Unto the church of God.
Which is at Corinth.
Which is at Corinth.
To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
To them that are sanctified, that means set apart in Christ Jesus.
Called to be saints.
Called to be saints, that is those who are called to be saints.
With all that in every place.
With all that are at Corinth only.
That are in every place.
Wait. You notice that the brother can't read? Because the Bible is saying all that are at Corinth. Because you see, what it said about head covering was meant only for those at Corinth. So all that are at Corinth.
With all that are in every place.
All that are in every place.
Call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
That is Christian everywhere. That's for whom the letter was meant. And let us settle that here. Because it's right there. It's just that some of us have been overlooking it when we read, or we haven't spent much time on the book of Corinthians. The letter was written not just for Corinthians, but saints in every place that call upon the name of the Lord. That is one passage. Let us look at chapter 4, verse 4.
For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord.
Just a minute, Brother Webb. I'm going to my manuscript. Okay, that is 2C. I'm just 2C. Your 1 Corinthians what?
Chapter 4.
It is chapter 4, verse 17. Wait, chapter 4, just a minute. Chapter 4, 17, chapter 7, 17. Okay, the typewriter dropping too much chapter 4. Okay, it is chapter 4, verse 17. Cross out that 4:4.
For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus. Who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring
watch here now.
Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church.
I'll get it here. What this is telling us is that whatever Paul taught one place at one congregation, he taught it in every church. So in effect, the head covering issue at Corinth here was not meant just for Corinth. You see? And this verse, chapter 4, verse 17, is on that very point. Look at chapter
7:17.
Let me look on my manuscript again. Let me hear 7:17.
But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches.
That's right. You all hear that? In other words, here you're getting the idea that whatever Paul taught in one congregation, he teach it in all of them. For us to see the head covering issue, in just the first 3-4 verses of 1 Corinthians 11 could tell you that this could never be just for Corinth. But we'll be looking on that in more detail as the lesson goes by. Okay? Yes, Brother Gilbert. Just let the brother bring the because the comments you make, the input is important, and we want all of it on the tape.
Yes, someone may acknowledge now that it is not just for Corinth.
That's right.
But how would we now move from that to say, no, it is for all times?
Okay.
So it's not just the place now, but the time.
Yes.
Because they like to restrict it to that time.
To that period.
Not just that period of time.
Okay.
So, yes, that's my question.
Okay. And it's a very good question. No, I'm trying to discriminate here. That is few passage coming to me. The most right now, the most appropriate one that keep coming to my mind is Jude. It has one chapter, verse 3. There are many other passages. Ray, please read.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Some translation, I'm not sure if it's the American, once for all delivered to the saints. It was once delivered to the saints. And you see, what was delivered to the saints of the first century, it was meant to serve for all time. Very good question, Brother Gilbert. As I'm sure there will be, in fact, I'm going to beg that you bring up that point again, Brother Gilbert, because as we progress, just a minute. As we progress, a need for that point you raise is going to come up again. Okay? Yes.
The Gilbert's question. If we even just stay in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, you know, he was speaking here specifically about the collection of the saints. But he ended by saying, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia,
so do ye.
Even so do ye.
Yes.
You know, so we see that coverage again in terms of...
That is, what he instruct one church, the same instruction is given to all. Not only that, I'm thinking of some of these passages. One is in Matthew, which shows that the extent of the gospel is to the end of the world. Are we all there? That the Bible encompasses not only the time when it was written, but up to the end of the world. Okay? So, and as I've said, I'm sure that there are points coming up in the lesson and in the text that I'll have reason to bring into focus some of these passages that shows that what we have through the apostles of Christ, it was meant not just for a limited time, but for all time. Yes.
In John, where Christ himself said that he should not just the apostles, but those who hear the apostles. No, those who hear the apostles now are across time. Not just, so he said, I'm praying not for these alone.
Yes,
but
John
for them
chapter
also.
17, verse 20 something.
Yes.
Pray not only for these alone, but for
them also.
Them also that shall believe on me
through
their word.
So that stretches right across time.
That stretches, that's right.
Yeah, so that
covers,
can be used
that's
as well.
Right. Yes, but as I said, yes, okay? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 through 34, and...
Brother Mitchell.
Thank you. Yes, brother, and we're glad to have you all.
All right.
And Brother Cunningham from City, and brother, yes.
The point on time and the fact that it covers, as how Paul wrote, it covers all dispensation of time.
It does, yes.
Draw me to the topic of slavery.
Yes.
And how Paul addresses slavery then, and is it that slavery is okay today? Or is it that that has faded away? And I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying.
And so can we reason it through that perspective, saying, well, because it was written then and it established that it is not only to the Corinthians, because the letter is to all Christians worldwide. That is established.
Yeah.
As for the time dispensation, I have a little difference in understanding that, especially
okay.
when it comes to other issues that we drop off based on time.
Beckford, thank you for the question. When it comes on to slavery, notice this in the book of Philemon. As we know, Philemon was a slave. Is it Philemon? Sometime I'm trying to remember which of them is the slave. Onesimus or Philemon?
Onesimus
was the slave, yes. Notice when he wrote the book of Philemon, Onesimus being the slave, Philemon is the person to whom the letter was written. Philemon was a Christian. When Onesimus left Philemon, Onesimus was not a Christian. Paul converted him while Paul was in prison. Notice when he sent him back, he told him, don't receive him as a slave anymore. That is telling us that the slave business is not approved by God. It was tolerated. You see, it was tolerated. And the Almighty God knew in his wisdom that if Christianity tried to overthrow slavery in a head-on, it would do more harm to the Christianity and the church than good. Slavery is one of the most ungodly, immoral thing there is. It has always been wrong. Even when it's practiced under the Old Testament, it was wrong. But the spiritual immaturity or infancy of religious people under that system could not accommodate. It's the same with divorce. God's regulation for marriage, divorce, and remarriage among his people is stated by Jesus Christ, and it was so new and so shocking to the apostle that Peter said, if that's the way going to be with a man and his wife, it's best for a man not to marry. All through the 1400 years of the Jewish history, the Almighty God permitted them to marry, divorce, and remarry for any reason. That has always been wrong. Same way with slavery. Slavery has always. So when Paul said to Onesimus, to Philemon, don't receive him as a servant, which means bond servant, anymore, he's showing you, if you see, if slavery was approved, he would not have said that. It shows that inspiration disapproves it. Don't receive him as a brother. Now, so with the subject of the extent of the gospel, we are dealing with two different things here. With slavery, you are dealing with something that is basically and fundamentally against the will of God. With the extent of the gospel, we are dealing with a completely different situation. Very good question, brother. Quantum. Yes.
Also, a good point by the brother. Also, the Christianity came and saw a lot of social structures in place. It wasn't just the slavery,
you're
but
right.
You also had people there marrying more than one person.
Are we all there listening to Brother Gilbert? Polygamy
was common.
Was common even among the Jews. In fact, that the elders be husband of one wife. When you study the passage, you realize it was written against the background of polygamy. Christianity came into a world that among the Jews, polygamy exists. And from the passage I just quoted there in Timothy, it, from all indication, it was in the church in the early stage of the church. That's why that passage that I have just quoted, that the elder should be the husband of one wife, it was written against the background of polygamy in the church. But you see, the church would what? Ultimately get rid of it.
So, Brother Mitchell, you are saying then that is a difference?
Come in, brother. Brother Fisher in England, in helping the church there, had to deal just recently with that. Where a member of the church had either two or three wives. He was from Africa. And Eddie Carl, and we discussed, and the brother was a faithful brother as far as they know. And then when they found out now, Eddie had to take a stand. When I went to college and roommate with Filipinos, in Philippines, it was the same situation. They have a system where polygamy was allowed. But that has always been against the will of God. May I? Under the Old Testament, it was against the will of God. Everybody gets it? Was contrary to God's will. The Almighty God permitted it. Divorce was against God's will, especially divorce and remarriage. But when God saw that divorce and remarriage was getting out of hand, and that some men, in order to divorce their wife and remarry, they would be cruel to their wife or find ways to kill the wife, the Almighty God step in and regulate it. But it was wrong. So what the point Brother Gilbert brought up is that Christianity came into a world that there were a lot of abnormality, cultural and otherwise, ethnical and otherwise. And in God's wisdom, the Almighty God chose the not the head and way to deal with some of those subjects, but realize that the gospel would what? Ultimately get rid of those, and the gospel did. Amen. Nothing play as positive a part in getting rid of slavery as the teaching of the New Testament. Time. Time to go. The temptation in class like this and discussion like this. When we started our Wednesday night Bible study, started doing it at 7 instead of 7:30. I strive to make sure that somewhere between 8 and 8:15 we dismiss. Discussion of this sort, if you are not careful, we go on all up until 9 o'clock and don't realize. But we don't want it like that. I wouldn't mind if there's a passage there I want read, but I'm going to let it stay. May I? We are just touching the introduction of the subject, you know. We have not started the passage yet. Let me just show you something. It's way wrong. It's way wrong, page 3, I think. It's page 3. It's page 3 that we're going to get in the actual text. That is verse by verse. We haven't gotten there yet. You see, we appreciate your input. And get this, you do not have to agree with what I am saying. Only make sure you are not disagreeing with the Almighty God. Truly, truly. So whenever anything is brought up, question it. If you are not too sure, question it. Seek clarification. I appreciate that. If I'm giving you my opinion, I let you know. If I'm giving you God's word, I'll go to a passage where we all can read it together. Amen. We want to do a thorough study of the passage. There are a lot of things going. You see all the business where we are told that the covering must be as such that there's something hang down. You see, and it cover your face. All of that will be dealt with, not from Carl Mitchell's point of view, but from the factual point of view. We are going to look on the Greek, and I'm going to bring probably one of the top lexicon in the world, Ardent and Gingrich. Some of us can hardly hold it with one hand. The big book. You have fire. Is top in the world, and you have Ardent and Gingrich. We are going to bring lexicon like that, and when he give you the meaning of katakaluptos, the word translated covering, and when he give you the various places and instances where it used, and the concept in the word. You know, to avoid the implication of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, over the years, people have come up with all sort of escape route. Matthew, I have been dealing with the subject from age 22 or 23 in college classroom, where the professor before me has his PhD. And when I noticed what was happening when I go church there, I began to question. And none of those professors has ever gone to the passage and step by step explained it. They deal with it like the denomination who don't accept baptism deal with baptism. Now, let us study, and we want your input, whoever you are. We solicit, we beg for your input. So go study and come next week.